start to appear. All righty. Our scripture today comes from John 18. Then the Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas, the chief priest, to the place of the Roman governor. By now it was early morning, and to avoid ceremonial uncleanliness, they did not enter the palace because they wanted to be able to eat the Passover. So Pilate came out to them and said, "What charges are you bringing against this man?" "If you weren't a criminal," they said, "we wouldn't have handed him over to you." Pilate said, "Take him yourself and judge him by your own law." "But we have no right to execute anyone," they objected. And this took place to fulfill what Jesus had said about the kind of death that he was going to die. Pilate then went back inside the palace, summoned Jesus, and said, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Is that your own idea?" Jesus asked, "or did others talk to you about me?" "Am I a Jew?" Pilate replied. "Your own people and chief priests have handed you over to me. What is it that you have done?" Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest by the Jewish leaders. But now my kingdom is from another place." "You are a king then," said Pilate. Jesus answered, "You say that I am king. In fact, the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. And with this, he went out again to the Jews that were gathered there and said, "I find no basis for a charge against him. But it's your custom for me to release to you one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" But they shouted back, "No, not him. Give us Barabbas." Scripture, the word of God for the people of God. There is several things balanced in here. There is a claiming of authority and an abdicating of authority all at the same time. Kind of walk you through it. The Jewish leaders took Jesus from Caiaphas, the chief priest of the Jewish people, and they took him to the place of the Roman governor. So Caiaphas had the right to pass judgment, but passed. So the Jewish people take him to the Roman governor, who's Pontius Pilate. And when they get there, they acknowledge the fact that he is a fallen pagan, and they won't even go into the palace to deliver Jesus. So Pilate, trying to keep the peace, though he is in charge, comes out to them. And they said, "What are the charges?" The Jewish leaders immediately start backtracking. They said, "Well, if he wasn't a criminal, we wouldn't have brought him to you." They don't want to name a charge. They don't want to step up. Pilate says, "Take him yourselves." And then they say, "We have no right to execute anyone." And they backtrack again. So Pilate begins to question Jesus. And he says, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus said, "Is that your own idea, or did others talk to you about me?" Because Pontius Pilate wouldn't know anything about the king of the Jews. And Jesus is revealing to Pontius Pilate that he knows more than Pilate wishes he did. And Jesus said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my servants would fight to prevent my arrest for the Jewish leaders, but now my kingdom is from another place. Ah, you are a king then. And Pilate is looking for a handhold, a charge to bring, something to bring this to an end. Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king, but in fact the reason I was born and came into the world is to testify to the truth. Everyone on the side of the truth listens to me." "What is truth?" retorted Pilate. With this, he went out and said, "He find no basis of a charge against this man, but it's your custom to release one prisoner at the time of the Passover. Do you want me to release the king of the Jews?" So Pilate again comes out and for the third time tries to pass the responsibility back to the Jewish leaders. He finds one last loophole and he says, "You know, I always release a prisoner. Why don't we release this one?" And the Jewish leaders have already prompted the people to say, "Give us Barabbas," putting it back on Pilate again. So in this battle about who's in charge and who has authority, everybody seems to be trying to give it away because they don't want the responsibility that goes with the authority. And back and forth it goes. As an aside, I'm emailing Dallas Jenkins, the guy who is producing the Chosen series. I think he should do a story on Barabbas, because I think it would be fascinating to see a backstory of Barabbas, a man who led an insurrection, killed Roman guards, and walks free out of prison because the people don't want Jesus. When Barabbas saw who Jesus was and that Jesus died in his place, what kind of an impact did it have on Barabbas when he realized that truth? So as I continue this series about living as a Christian in a post-Christian world, this idea of what truth is becomes really, really important. One of the best illustrations I've ever seen of this comes from Monty Python. And it's Monty Python and the Holy Grail. I would love to show you the video, but it's a BBC property and you can't get permission for netting from those people. So I'm going to paraphrase it. I'm going to tell you a little bit of the story. They are searching for the Holy Grail, which is the cup that Jesus used at the Last Supper. And they are going to where they believe it exists, and they're on their way, and they come to a bridge. And when they get to this bridge, there's someone who is guarding the bridge and says it's his bridge and you can't cross it. He says, "If you want to cross the bridge, you must answer the questions that I put to you or die." Sir Lancelot, being Sir Lancelot, says, "I'm not afraid." And he steps forward and he says, "Who are you?" And he says, "I am Lancelot of Camelot." He said, "Why do you come?" He says, "I search the Holy Grail." "What's your favorite color?" "Blue." "You can pass." Then he walks across the bridge. The next knight, I believe, is Sir Galahad. And the questions come to him. And he answers the questions. And the question comes, "What's your favorite color?" And he says, "Blue." No, it's yellow." And he's cast over the side into the pit. And there is a moment there when we realize that something can be true for one person and not be true for someone else. But the thing is everything doesn't fit that pattern. And that is what we're grasping with in a postmodern era. Another really cool illustration comes to me from the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour. In the Bugs Bunny Roadrunner Hour, Bugs Bunny does stuff, and because he believes it's going to work, it works. He sticks his finger in the gun. The gun blows up, and Elmer Fudd gets covered with black soot. Got news for you. Don't do that. It won't turn out the same way for you. Coyote chases the roadrunner. The roadrunner makes the sharp turn around the mountain pass. The coyote keeps running 15, 20 feet out into the thin air until he realizes there's no more road. And his eyes get big and he drops. I always wanted to know how you could run out 20 feet into thin air and not fall. Well, it's the coyote didn't know he wasn't on the road anymore, so he couldn't fall yet, right? Again, I wouldn't try that in real life. I think you'll find that the laws of gravity take place immediately after you step off the road. It doesn't matter if you know it or believe it or not. I was reading a book by Josh McDowell, talked about he was having a conversation with a 16-year-old girl named Amber. And they were talking about what God's plan for human sexuality was. And she says, well, I'm going to wait until I'm married. He says, so you think that recreational sex is wrong? And she says, well, it is for me, but I can't speak for anyone else. And Josh said, why would you say that? And she says, well, everybody's truth is different. And he began to look into it, and he found that over 80% of the kids in his youth group believe that. In the larger world, more and more of the adult population in the United States believes that as well. Only 6% of American adults believe that there is an absolute truth that is unchanging. You might look at that and say, you know, we live in a postmodern era. That's just the way it's becoming. You know, it's just a new way of thinking. But I got to tell you, last Christmas I was watching a movie that illustrated it perfectly. The interesting thing to me is the movie was made in 1947. It's called Miracle on 34th Street. In that movie, there's a man who claims to be Santa Claus. And he's so good at being Santa Claus that he draws a crowd and it becomes a problem. So competitors and detractors begin to say, he can't claim to be Santa Claus. There's no Santa Claus. So he's put on trial. And I have to tell you, as I'm watching the trial, once you have the concept of the biblical understanding, this guy sounds like Pontius Pilate. The judge in this show is doing everything he can to find a way out. He wants to pass the buck. He wants to give someone else the responsibility. And in the end, he does pass the responsibility to who? The U.S. Postal Service. And as he makes his closing remarks, he says, you know, if that many people believe he's Santa Claus, he's Santa Claus. It wasn't whether it was true or not, but if enough people believed it, it became true. Folks, that's not the way it works. In fact, quite often, majority of people would like to deny what is true because it's inconvenient and it's hard. As we live in this world, and people find out that we are Christians, they all tend to come up with the same arguments. So all the Jewish and Muslim and Hindu people are going to hell. When people say that, I said, why would you say that? That isn't something I teach. Not something that Arise believes. Well, why would a God let children die? There can't be a God. And I said, well, would you prefer a world in which God forced you to love him every minute of every day for every moment of your life? For all eternity? Does that sound loving and warm and wonderful? If God gives you free choice, then you're going to make decisions that hurt. If you live in a fallen world, bad things happen to good people. Well, it says in the Bible, judge not lest ye be judged. It does. But it doesn't mean that there isn't judgment. It doesn't mean that there's a right or wrong that needs to be judged. See, the arguments go right back to that scripture lesson. You want to abdicate the responsibility to avoid making the decision. It's very difficult to understand. There's an inescapable conclusion that there is right and wrong. There are rules. When someone from a pluralistic relative mindset will say, there's absolutely no such thing as absolute truth. Problem with that statement? It's an absolute statement. You can't say there is no absolute truth without stating an absolute truth. It's like sticking your finger in the gun or running off the side of the cliff. The laws still take hold. And the truth is still the truth. See, today we live in a world where people really, really want cafeteria-style Christianity. They want to come in and say, oh, grace and forgiveness. I'll take a big helping of that. The peace that passes understanding, double me up there. Oh, unconditional love. Oh, that definitely want that. Repentance? I'll pass. Not really interested in that. Sin in a fallen world? No, I just choose not to believe that, and we'll just move on to something happier. The problem is it all comes together. It all comes in one package. So as you encounter people who want to tell you what you believe, even though they haven't talked to you, people who want to tell you what Christianity means when they've spent no time at all practicing it, instead of getting into these esoteric arguments. My favorite is George Carlin. Is God so great that he can make a rock so big that he himself cannot lift it? My answer, if he wanted to, I don't know. You don't want to get into these circular debates. And I will tell you, in a postmodern world, there's one question that has to be answered. Who is Jesus? Once you answer that question, all the other questions begin to answer themselves. But without that answer, you're going nowhere. As you look in the biblical community, the archaeological community, you will find no credible scholar that will say there's no such person as Jesus of Nazareth. We have Eusebius, we have Philo, we have Herodotus, we have Roman historians who track this Jesus of Nazareth. They know that Jesus lived, that Jesus taught, that Jesus died. So that being true, why did he die? How did he die? What happened after he died? As you look at it scientifically, there is no way that someone rises from the dead after they've been crucified, stabbed in the side, and had their blood and water pour out. It doesn't happen. Unless God does the raising. You ask psychologists, what is the possibility that the women who came to the tomb, the disciples who saw him in the other room, and the hundreds of people that saw him after he was resurrected just had the same hallucination? It's the same identical hallucination. That's almost impossible. What are the chances that the people who had that same hallucination would then defend it in the face of death and not recant? They said, well, not now, you're getting absurd. So if this Jesus who lived and taught and died and rose from the dead and ascended into heaven is Jesus of Nazareth, who better to be the judge of what's right and wrong? I can think of a lot of good judges, a lot of good counselors, a lot of good mediators. None on that level. The Christ who created you? The Christ who died for you? Is going to decide what's right and wrong? Is going to decide if you need to repent? Is going to decide your measure of grace? I can't think of anybody else I want to have that job, much less me. I don't want to be the one to decide what's right and wrong. I'm worse than Pilate and the Jewish leaders in the scriptures today. I want that responsibility to lie with Christ. Because that is the only one worthy to do it. Could you pray with me? Lord, as we come today and we struggle with what is truth and what is not truth, what is right and what is wrong, and who has the right to decide, we understand that there's lots of consequences and there's lots of fallout from those decisions. But thank you so much that those decisions are not ours. That those decisions belong to you. The one who made us, the one who died for us. One who knows us better than we know ourselves. Lord, we give you thanks. For the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ. The way, the truth, and the life. And the people of God said, amen.